I hate this place.
Anywhere better to go?
Without money, no.
Well, then. What's so wrong with Saliba's, anyway? Can live as cheaply here as you can anywhere in the world. At least it's warm. Where the devil's the wit?
I want some more beer.
Then order some more beer.
I have no money left.
So, don't order some more beer.
Oh, Evans, for God's sake. I've stood you plenty of rounds.
Oh, sure you have. Me, all the girls in all the bars, and every poker player and confidence man in the China Seas. That's why you're broke now.
Are you forgetting the cash I lost when you jumped bail in Batavia?
Not with you reminding me of it every day of my life.
If DeWitt doesn't come up with something substantial, I'm finished.
Oh, you? Finished? An Oxford man? Oh, where's DeWitt?
He said he'd be here at 11.
It's almost 12. All right, I'll buy you a round. When that's gone, I'm getting off the quay. It's too hot and it's too conspicuous.
I'd never look as far as this for you.
Hey, boy! Two beers, chop chop. What? So how's this? I'm not talking about the Batavia police.
You aren't in trouble with the Celebes police as well.
You've forgotten that planter in Carosa?
I thought he was a friend of yours. Thought he'd lent you the money.
Oh, how green do you intend to stay? I persuaded him to give me some money. It's not something he's likely to forget, Nari.
Evans, you're mad.
This DeWitt, what's on offer with him?
I told you already. All he said he wanted was a couple of reliable people to help him in an unusual business venture.
He must have a queer idea of reliability to it on us too.
I am not dishonest. I'm neither a thief nor a bully boy.
But I am. Then why drag me in on an honest game? Is it because you can't handle DeWitt on your own?
I believe in working with people I know.
I wasn't aware that you believed in working at all.
Evans, will you leave it alone?
The best thing I can do for you is to remind you now and again of what you were and what you've become.
I don't need reminding.
Hooker.
Let him.
I knew he'd turn up sooner or later.
I can see now why he needs help with whatever it is. You ever see a living man with both feet in the grave?
My dear fellow, I'm late.
Yeah, you are.
Please forgive me.
Oh, never mind. This is my associate, Keith Evans. Evans, this is Hendrik DeWitt.
Evans?
Yeah.
Look, let me get you a drink.
You what?
What I'm going to discuss with you, I want to discuss in privacy. I have a trap waiting by the jetty. We'll go to my place. It's cleaner, quieter, and more discreet.
My God. Electric fans, you must be doing pretty well. I can see you're a man worth cultivating.
There are drinks over there. Help yourself.
Ah, yeah.
Aren't you having anything, DeWitt?
Never before Sunday.
Ah.
But you have all you need?
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Then sit down, please, both of you. And I shall come to the point of this meeting. I should like to think that what I shall tell you will remain in confidence, whether you agree to come in with me or not. Though, in fact, it does not greatly matter if you were to tell every beachcomber in the Far East my story. They would never believe a word of it.
But you expect us to?
Because I have proof. Hooker, that box on the table. Take it on your knees a moment.
Oh, ridiculous. It weighs half a ton.
Open it, if you please, and let your associate see the contents also.
Good God. This is gold. It is gold, isn't it?
Of course it's gold, man.
It is merely one of 1,500 ingots. And I know where the rest are to be found.
I'll turn my hand to most things, but not to bank robberies. Not for any reasons of morality, you understand. I just don't want to spend the rest of my life in a Dutch jail.
I hope you are not going to be as tiresome as this all the time. I am not referring to bank bullion, but to treasure trove.
Pipe down, Evans. Let's hear the story.
Oh, it's his gin I'm drinking. It's his chair I'm sitting in. I'll listen to his story.
Very well, then. 200 years ago, almost to the month, in July 1700, a Spanish ship carrying as part of its freight some 2,000 gold ingots set off from the Philippines for Batavia. But in the event, she never arrived at Batavia at all. After a year, it was assumed she must have been destroyed on one of those reefs between Investigator Shoal and Amboyna. Somewhere like that.
But you know differently.
I know differently. As Hooker is aware, I do most of my trading around the Strait of Makassar and the Celebes Sea. Now, in May of 97, I put in at Tadele in the Sula Isles for copra. I became friendly with the local chieftain. He liked some of my personal china. It's masonware, and he had never seen anything like it. I was not anxious to part with it, but he became very insistent. Finally, he produced that ingot. Naturally, I gave him the masonware, and glad to. It was not long before I realized that it must have formed part of the bullion carried by the Spanish ship.
Are you trying to tell us she headed through ground straight to the Banda Sea?
I'm telling you nothing more, except that after several months of intensive investigation, my partner Heisman and myself came across the bulk of the ingots where they had lain untouched for 200 years. For a variety of reasons, we could not leave them there, nor could we take them with us. The crew would have cut our throats in 10 minutes. So Heisman and I reburied the ingots elsewhere. And I personally ensured their total safety.
But this Heisman, this partner of yours, where does he figure in the scheme of things?
I have every reason to believe that Heisman has made his own attempt to recover the ingots a few months ago.
You're very calm about it. He could be in Australia now, living the life of Riley on your treasure.
My dear Hooker, you will recall that I emphasized that I had personally ensured the total safety of ingots. Without my physical presence at the exhumation of the treasure, no one would survive to enjoy it.
Be telling us next you put a curse on it.
There could be worse explanations.
But surely, Heisman,
if he ever reached the spot, I promise you he will still be there. But very dead. Very dead indeed.
Sulawesi. Why did he have to leave us at Sulawesi? A pimple on the backside of beyond.
What's making you so irritable? He can't recover the stuff without us, or he'd never have hired us in the first place. He'll be back.
We seem to spend half our lives hanging around for DeWitt.
Look, Evans, we've sailed the best part of 300 miles in pretty short order, considering there's been virtually no wind for days. We've had food, drinks, accommodation, and $100 apiece. Why should he welsh on us now?
I just don't like this hanging around. I mean, where's the schooner now?
Don't you ever listen to anything he says. The schooner's gone off to Tadele, and it'll pick us up wherever and whenever DeWitt decides.
What makes you so sure it'll pick us up? Why not just DeWitt, once we've crated the ingots for him?
The world isn't entirely composed of scoundrels and renegades, difficult though it may be for you to appreciate. What's that?
Huh? Good God. Looks like some kind of bumboat with a jury rig.
And a wits at the tiller. Come on!
We'll hoist the sail once we're clear of the reef. Till then, we'll paddle.
Just a minute. Now, just you hang on the slack a minute, DeWitt. You expect us to cross the Banda Sea in this joke of a boat?
I'll reveal the destination when I think fit and not before. What is the matter? Are you scared of losing sight of land?
I'm being realistic. The squall blows up and this toy won't last 10 seconds. The sharks will have us for breakfast if we don't drown first.
I warned you at the start that it was not going to be easy. Do you suppose I would be paying you a small fortune if you were not going to earn it? If you want out, say so now, and Hooker and I will carry on without you.
Just shut up, Evans, and let's get going.
What about weapons?
What about weapons?
If we're going to be carrying ingots worth a million, how far do you think we'll get without guns to defend it?
You seem bent on obscuring this enterprise with a great miasma of melodrama where none exists. I've had 2 years to plan every detail. There is absolutely no danger, unless it comes from within.
What's that supposed to mean?
You Evans are a small-time crook with a penchant for brutality and a conscience that would not sit on the point of a needle.
Ah, you listen to me.
And Hooker. A charming parasite whose remittances from London stopped arriving 3 months ago. A man with a list of unpaid debts from Cape Town to Sydney. Oh, yes, the pair of you have very strong incentives for getting rid of me as soon as I show you where the ingots are.
Since you think so cheaply of us, why the devil did you hire us in the first place?
If I'd taken honest men, I'd never know when they would lose their honesty with so much gold in their hands. But you too. I've taken adequate precautions already.
Like what?
If I am not back at Kendari within a fortnight and with all the bullion intact, my lawyer will open a sealed letter. It records every detail of our transaction. And no port in the world would be big enough to hide you from the gallows. Now, are we going or not?
How much longer, for God's sake?
Depends on the wind, doesn't it?
There's been no wind for 5 hours.
Be thankful you have paddles. I estimate we've sailed about 30 miles, drifted about 5, and paddled about 10. We can't be far from our destination now.
Peru. We're heading for Peru.
Yes, look. I can see the mountains now, dimly, through the haze. Oh, I admire your navigation, DeWitt.
Yes, the river. Then the forest on either side, and far behind the forest, the mountain range. Some of these peaks are almost 8,000 feet high.
I suppose the bloody gold's on top.
Sharp! Just shut up and paddle, will you?
I want some water first. I need a drink.
There is no more water.
What?
There's no more water left in the canteens.
It was at least a quarter an hour ago.
I poured it over the side.
Are you mad?
I want to ensure you waste no more time making landfall. There's a river there, and you can drink your fill.
But it's at least 5 miles to the coast, you maniac.
Then paddle harder.
Suppose the wind gets up. We're blown off course. What happens then?
An old salt like you will see to it that we make the coastline somehow, especially when it is the only source of water.
You'll pay. You'll pay for this trick, DeWitt. I promise you.
I intend to. Your joint share is 20%.
And it's not enough for what we're going through.
Evans! You make me sick!
But don't you see, Hooker? It's always the men like Evans, constantly boasting of their physical prowess, terrorizing people older or weaker than themselves. It is always those men who have the softness beneath the bone.
I'll destroy you for that. Gold or no gold.
Have you forgotten the lawyer in Kendari? And how close his office is to police headquarters?
Stop bickering, the pair of you! Never had any more of voting in my life. Two grown men.
But you, Hooker, I believe something could be made of you yet. You have more resolution and endurance than Evans could dream of.
I swear I'll...
Stop it! Now! There's a wind from the north. Look at the sail.
It isn't settled. There'll be a reckoning between us, DeWitt. And I have all the time in the world to choose when the reckoning should be.
I suppose it's an old story. It's happened to far too many people to make it in any way unique.
You don't have to tell me.
No, I'm happy to tell you. Now that Evans is sleeping, I want to tell you. You're the first person in 5 years who hasn't considered me a total failure.
You were a total failure when I met you in Manato. But you still possess some remnants of integrity. You still had an active conscience. That is why I've taken a chance on you. And I think it'll pay off. But Evans, once you have got your share back at Kendari, I'd strongly advise you to quit Salibis and Evans for good.
I shall. Believe me, I shall.
Will you go back to England?
It's out of the question.
Why?
Well, when I came down from Oxford, I was still very immature. In London, I ran with a fast set. I was spending far too much money, far too unwisely. Then I fell in love with a very attractive woman. She was charming, irresistible to me, but mercenary. I had to pay very heavily for the pleasure of her company.
Yes, it's an old story.
I borrowed cash from my uncle's business, intending to repay it when I received my legacy on my 21st birthday. Inevitably, the loss was discovered too soon. My uncle. He threatened to prosecute me. My father paid him back out of his own pocket and then told me to clear out of the country. He sent me quarterly remittances against my legacy wherever I happened to be.
You were not fortunate in your parentage. Another man might have forgiven his son a single peccadillo.
The family had rigid principles. Anyone who deviated from these principles could expect swift punishment.
So what will you do?
I think I'll try America.
Then let me know when you intend to embark. I can give you a few introductions that might prove useful.
You're very kind.
Kind?
Ah! Evans! Evans!
Get back! You'll overset the boat!
You maniac!
Paddle! Make for the gap in the reef, or we run aground!
You murderer! You crazy murderer!
There. The reef and the gap behind us. And the river ahead. It all tallies with the witch map.
You must be insane. We had an honest fortune in sight and you had to kill him. You had to prove that you were the stronger man. And what does that leave us with? A million in gold we can't use because every policeman in Asia will be on the lookout for us.
Gold will buy anything and everything. With gold we bribe our way to safety and power. £10,000 will keep DeWitt's lawyer quiet.
I don't care about power. I don't care about bribery. DeWitt was a decent man and you murdered him. Uselessly. Unnecessarily, because he was a better man than you'll ever be.
Don't you forget this, Hooker. To the law, you're as guilty as I am. So if you want to live, you're going to need the gold as much as I do.
The gold.
Concentrate. Look at the map. Now, this curved line is the river. Oh, God, I could use a drink now. And this star must be where they buried the ingots.
What are those marks by the star? Looks like a plan of a house or something. What about those dashes all over it?
Now, we'll find out sooner or later. Let's move on till we get to drinkable water. Go on! Paddle! God, the forest's cold after the blaze out there.
Do you know, I mean know, where you're going?
You've seen the map, haven't you? You any other ideas? There, look. You hear the river? We can't be far off now.
For the thickness of that undergrowth, we can't hack through that lot.
We should have to beat up and down as close to the river as possible. Can't be far from here.
You said that before.
Well, can it? Can it?
I don't know.
Pull this all together. If we're going to find the gold, let's find it.
Wasn't there some kind of cairn?
You are?
De Witt mentioned a heap of stone, some sort of pointer.
I didn't hear him say anything like that. Let's try downriver first. This looks more likely. They wouldn't want to cart those bloody ingots too far inland. What the devil's that? Over there.
Looks blue. Something blue.
Come on.
God. God.
Oh, what the hell?
It's Haseman. Must be.
A stench.
How long's he been lying there?
A couple of months at least. Isn't that what DeWitt said?
That putrefaction.
What got him? What killed him?
How do I know, you fool? I wasn't there, was I?
It's appalling. Must have been a snake, surely.
Does it matter? The stink.
He's dead and he's been dead for weeks. Just keep your eyes open, that's all. Look. Look up. Here. This is it. It's here.
Haseman got down as far as the ingots. So what happened then? Why did he move away so far?
Does it matter? He's done the donkey work for us. He's uncovered the top layer. Come on.
Oh, this is it. Let's just scrape the soil off.
Well, what's wrong with your hand?
Thorn, that's all. This is the stuff, all right. Will you look at that?
What use is it?
Oh, don't start on that tack again. You better start lugging it into the boat. We want to be off the island by nightfall. Gives you the screaming creeps, this place.
Oh, damn! Thorns all over the shop.
We'll carry the bars on my jacket and take more than five at a time. What are you staring at?
I can't stand that. Haseman. I'm going to cover it first.
Oh, this isn't the time of a bloody burial party.
But how did he die?
You stop asking stupid questions and get on with it. Hooker, stop staring, will you?
Let's get this locked out of the boat.
We'll have to support the jacket underneath, or the thing will split before we got 10 yards. My arms still ache from that paddling. Damn. Oh, they're aching like hell. I'll have to rest. It's close in this forest. What's the use of hanging around? Come on. Give me a hand. What are you staring at me? Can't you speak?
What's the matter with you?
This is heat. I'll be all right in a jiffy. Oh, God. What's happening to me?
Evans.
I can't breathe. You better start dragging the stuff down on your own. God. Oh, get moving, can't you?
Evans, you're ill. Damn these thorns. Thorns!
You'll recall I emphasized that I had personally ensured the total safety of the English.
The thorns!
If Haseman ever reached the spot, I promise you he'll still be there. But very dead. Very dead indeed.
Evans! Of course the gold was safe, Evans! Don't you see?
Of course De Witt had to be here himself to warn us. Those dashes on his map. All these thorns in the soil. We've both been picked by them. He must have tipped them with poison. The Dyaks use poison thorns like these in their blowing tubes. Oh, my God!
You were a total failure when I met you. But you still possessed some remnants of integrity.
Damn you, Evans!
That's why I've taken a chance on you. And I think it will pay off.
You, Evans. Damn you, Evans.
The Treasure in the Forest was written by H.G. Wells and adapted by Michael Robson. It starred Joss Ackland, Michael Bryant, and Christopher Casanova, and was devised and directed by Derek Hodinott. It was a BBC World Service production.